irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome all you entertainment holics out there in Radio Land. It is time yet again for another thrilling, exciting installment of You Fucking Guessed It. Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, coming at you live each and every Wednesday night on LA Talk Radio Channel 1. We are every Wednesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on LA Talk Radio Channel 1. We're also syndicated on the following: iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Sonos, Deezer, Radio Line, Podbean, Blog Talk Radio, Spotify, CastBox, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, and Geo7. We are also, I believe, Stitcher is being bought out by Sirius XM Radio. So Jenny's Real Talk on the Block will be purchased in, not us personally, but the right to syndicate our show over on Sirius XM Radio with all the podcasts that are on Stitcher. So now, at that point, we'll also be on Sirius XM Radio. Woo! The plans to take over the world have begun. I am Pinky. No, sorry. I'm the brain, and this is Derek Pinky Webb. Just kidding. Anyway, we manage the following bands and artists: Potty Mouth, Black Sabbatha, Don Marlowe, Star Daddy, Nola Star, Jane's Addicted, Aussie Train, Mortis the Devil's Reject, and the Mortis Doll Dancers, featuring Lillian Sin Voodoo Kitten and Cinder. Also Cleaver from Santiago, Chile, Fallen Fury, Burn the Ships, Berserk, Hollywood Nightmare, and now Carol Dyack and Bruce Blaine, which are the DJs for the Borderline Radio Show out of Italy. We're worldwide, bitches. It's probably what we're called. Get Real Global Entertainment, LLC. That's who is paying for this lovely broadcast that you're watching and or listening to right now. We want to give a shout out to Ronan Rosner, our IT guy extraordinaire at LA Talk Radio. And shout out to Sam Hassan, owner of LA Talk Radio. We miss you very much. And hope to be back in the studio again very soon. Our bars and venues that we want to give a shout out to that we work with regularly: Five Star Bar, 267 South Main Street, downtown Los Angeles, 90012. Owners Mark and Andrew Cordova, shout out to you guys. Miss you very much. Can't wait to have shows with you again. Petey's Place is 6025 Reseda Boulevard, Tarzana, California. Owner Petey Partello. Shout out Universal Bar and Grill, 4093 Lancashire Boulevard, North Hollywood, California, owner Greg Beer. And then, of course, the Rainbow Bar and Grill. We miss you so, so much. One of our very favorite venues we've ever thrown concerts at. Shout out to Nick Fuoco of Metal Mayhem Mondays and Tuesdays, Rainbow Bar and Grill in West Hollywood, California. Can't wait to be back there again soon. Go check out Nick's tribute band, Nightmare, which is a tribute to Alice Cooper. Lots of things going on. Go check out all of our up and coming stuff we got going on. If you need your event planned, we've got you. We're an artist management company. We have a bunch of radio station, movies, television shows, all kinds of wonderful stuff. Today we have an amazing guest with us. It's going to be author Amy Lee Murphy, and her book is titled Fine. It's Amy Lee Murphy. It's AmyALEA and then Murphy, MURPHY. Go check her out. And we'll be talking to her shortly. But first up, we have Derek Webb all the way from New Hampshire. Hell yeah. with our health segment of the week.
How's it going?
Take it away, Derek. What's up?
How you doing, Jenny?
Good, how are you? Hope you had a great Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Tried to anyway until all the kids started making a ruckus when they got the brand new bikes and all that other stuff. They wanted to try them out on the ice. I'm like, no, not a good idea. We guys don't get the helmets yet, so let's be some patient. Summer's still around the corner. Beautiful Christmas. How about you?
It was quite interesting. But anyway, all right, let's get to the health segment of the week. Take it away, Derek Webb.
Yeah, tonight. Thank you, Jenny. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome tonight. We are going to be working on tonight a little bit of cardiovascular activity with a medicine ball. Medicine balls are also known as weighted balls because they have extra weight to them. This is a 10-pounder I'm doing. For those of you at home who are starting this off, please, I advise if you are doing it for the first time, especially, use something relatively a little light because you don't want to have an accident, prone to injury, things like that happen. But I'm going to do a little thing called the circle twist with my arms. You take the ball, go one hand to the other, round back. This is a good upper body strength, shoulders and arms workout. It's a good trick, but it's also involving a little cardiovascular. Standing in place, we're using the lungs. Nothing to it. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's get to it. Doing a little bit of this, back and forth. Yep. A little bit of lung power. Then, switch it up a little bit. Back to the other side. Oh, then. Catch. Catch up. Jump up one. Jump up another. Jump up again. Jump up 7. Jump up 8. Jump up 9. Jump up 10. And boom. Great stuff right there. Or you can even go under the knees, which I love. Picking up the speed. Picking up the speed. Ooh, try not to lose it. That is a beautiful cardiovascular activity. It's good for the strengthening, but good for the lungs. And the beautiful for conditioning. Back and forth, vice versa. All of that is fine stuff. But once again, I advise if you're doing it, maybe start off light. If not, you want to go for being a champ, do a little heavy, but be careful.
He's got weighty balls. Balls, and he said something about a medicine ball. I said to JJ, I said to the Muse, we got the right medicine for his balls.
Oh, jeez. Good injection.
It's called marijuana.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was just too much.
It definitely keep you going.
That was hilarious. Anyway, thank you so much, though, for showing us proper usage of the medicine ball, because I'd never actually used one before. And how much do those things weigh? I heard they're kind of heavy.
You can go up to about 25 to 30 pounds on these.
Oh, really? They go that high?
25 to 30, the lowest, 5 and a half.
Okay, all right. So more of a manageable weight as far as the smaller one goes.
Yeah, this is... Doing a 10, but traditionally...
That's a 10?
Yeah, this is a 10 right here, but I usually like to do things like that, especially when you're moving, swinging. You want to do something light variable, maybe between the 10, 5 to 15 pound range, nothing more. That's even if you're starting out, you definitely want to probably do lower than 10, maybe 5-pounders, because you're definitely...
I got you. Yeah. Well, would make more sense. It's kind of like when you're doing your biceps at first, or curl, you know, you're... Whatever they say to start off with, like 5 pound, like smaller weights. Yeah, so that makes sense.
Protein free. I see a lot of guys do it all the time, and they're in the gym. They're trying to. You also want to have the quality, that form, and sometimes you see them trying to do 90-pound dumbbell curls, and they're these high school kids that are like 14.
Okay,
years.
Who are they trying to impress? They trying to blow out their bicep? Ow! I'm sorry. It just that's overkill.
They're 14 years old, and I see this kid. Don't kill yourself, man. Just relax. You'll get there someday. You just got to take one step at a time. So it's a matter form quality over quantity, having the technique, having all that down, because all that is very variable, just and as important as the weight is that you're lifting. But it's not about what you're lifting, it's about the form, more or less.
That's good, yeah, because if you don't have the right form, you could pull a muscle or really mess yourself up. You gotta be very careful.
Like you said, it's very possible. I've heard of cases, a lot of people think it's stupid, though. Like, oh, it's not possible. It's medically, it's happened. There are professional bodybuilders out there who have blown the biceps and who have gotten severely...
gotten a hernia. You get a hernia from that shit. You just don't want to go there. It's not worth you messing up your body for something like that. You want, if the whole point of doing all that is to be healthier and not fuck yourself up.
Not be on the ventilator screaming out at me. And it's not
right. Because yeah, basically. All right, well, Derek, thank you so much. We appreciate you and all that you do for us. And all of you out there, get ready for it. Get ready to go check it out. Saturday, January 30th.
Love it.
We said 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific time, which is 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to do our own little radio video thing for entertainment. And it's called Real Talk with Derek and Jenny. So get ready for it. I'll send you all the stuff for how we're going to do it. And then we can start getting guests to, join in and talk to us about different stuff, different in entertainment. All right. Thank you so much, Derek. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Love you, guys.
Peace out. Love you, dude. Hi to the... Hey. There goes the wonderful Derek Webb. He is our health expert extraordinaire from New Hampshire. But we have an even more important person in the room with us right now. And her name is Amy Lee Murphy, author extraordinaire. Courtesy brought to us today by Desiree Duffy and the staff at Black Chateau Enterprises, which is amazing, basically like PR for authors, getting them on podcast interviews and other things, book tours, whatever. They do all kinds of stuff, many things to help authors, up and coming authors who need a voice and need somebody to go to bat for them and get them as much PR and exposure as possible. Hi, Amy Lee Murphy. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us today. Yeah. I was reading reading your bio that they sent me over, and I was just kind of looking a little bit at what you do. I was really interested in the whole thing. So the book is titled, you said Fine?
Yes, it's called Fine. Exactly. You say it exactly that way.
I like
it. Here, I got a copy actually with me.
Yes, please show the viewers. Yeah. There you go.
I know. It's such a pretty awesome cover that I just...
It is very pretty cover. I like the colors.
Right? And it's just... Nice. And it's... Well, so Fine is... It's a young adult mystery about a young girl who's searching for answers as to why her older sister mysteriously disappeared 6 years earlier. So it's really about Katie Williams, who was 12 when her sister vanished. And she's now 18 and she's grown up, ready to be an adult, except for she can't figure out how everybody managed to move on when she's still frozen in the past and really deeply affected by her sister's disappearance. So after a chance meeting with a friend, she decides to go look into the police file, the missing persons file for her sister, and try to figure out what happened. And so the book kind of goes through the file alongside Katie. So it's presented in a variety of formats. It goes through police interviews. It goes through portions of Amy's diary, text messages, the whole thing, which is...
Oh, wow.
But it's really a neat reading experience because it's a kind of fun way to tell the story. So the reader kind of gets to be with Katie as she's revisiting this moment in time and getting all the same information. So
that's
fine in a nutshell.
I like that.
Yeah, it's really fun. And the reason it's named Fine for so many reasons is because her sister, Anna, who disappeared, you know, she seemed fine. She's a straight A student, cheerleader from a safe town. You know, these things don't happen, right? These things just don't happen. And everyone was so surprised and shocked because she was so fine. And once you start peeling back the layers of anybody's life, you start to see more authentic pieces of who they really are. And then you decide how fine they were, you know, that kind of thing.
I like, now I see it as has to do with, it says journaling. I saw that.
Yeah. I mean, those are probably the pieces of like, Anna's diary. So, you know, some of the portions, they're really fun because they're kind of presented in a more authentic way, you know, with doodles on the page, you know, the way.
Yeah. And that looks like a diary page.
It is.
More so than a, yeah.
Yeah. So it's really just photocopied portions of what would be in the police file. So even when you get to, you know, there's cell phone texts and there's interviews.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, interviews with, you know, that the police officers did with everyone who was around at the time, from family members to, you know, kids at the high school, teachers, you know, all the people who they were interviewing, trying to figure out what was really going on, what could have happened to her. And so it kind of layers like a kaleidoscope, all these different perspectives, to really get a feel for what was the truth, what was really going on with her, and therefore what happened. You know, what do we really think happened with her? Which is not
as easy. Different perspective. I like that.
Yeah, it's so fun. And I think, you know, so often we hear these things in the news, you know, like someone goes missing or something tragic happens, and it's just the search for answers aren't always as clear as you would think. It's not just a clean cut thing. And there's always so much more life and humanity at the center of it all. And so I think this book really just kind of opens up, you know, the discussion around all the things that are going on in a person's life and who they really are and what they're really showcasing to the world, as opposed to, you know, the truth. So I don't know. I think it's a super fun read. I know a lot of people have said they've read it in like one sitting, because once you get started, you just need to know, right? You just keep flipping through.
So. I like how you have it set up, though. It's very different. I mean, just the way you have the book organized, the way you have it laid out, it's not like anything I've ever seen. That's very unique. I like that.
Thank you. I just think it's so fun to be, you know, because when you go through a book and you're attached to the character and you're following along, I think it's always so interesting to be in the room with them. You know, you're not only experiencing their response to all the information coming at them, but you're like a fly on the wall reading the information yourself. You know, sometimes in TV shows and things like that, you get the opportunity to do. But usually in you know, novels, you're kind of seeing it through their eyes only. And this is kind of a neat way to present all the perspectives, which I don't know. I think it's fun. I think it's a fun way to tell the story, especially on some heavier topics, you know.
Now, do you think that this could transcend age groups? Like, as far as, like, you think, like, somebody that's a teenager could read this, but also somebody who's older, like in, you know, 40s, 50s or whatever, could read it as well. Is it something that you think would cross barriers as far as age? Or, you know, like, I don't know what group you were. I don't know what group you were targeting when you wrote this. Like, what demographic? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally know what you mean. It is more geared towards, you know, young adult audience, right? Because, you know, it is the protagonist is a young girl. But at the same time, it's funny that the response I've had to it is so many people saying, oh my gosh, I remember it was like being a teenager. I feel like I like literally was talking about it. And I'm a big proponent personally of reading everything, because there's this, I think like the teenage years, I don't know about you, but I feel like you become so much of who you are during those pivotal like age range, you know, from like 15 to 22, you're going through all these bigger than life moments, all these firsts, and it really shapes your personality. And I think being able to go into stories that capture that moment in time, it's amazing to me how much you look back at, you know, from a later age and be like, that was pivotal. That was huge. Like, I had no idea when I was 17 thinking those things or dating that person or having that experience that it would change who I really am and how my life has sort of evolved. So, So I think this book sort of has that offering to it. You know, it kind of takes you back to being a teenager, but it also is sort of a, an invitation to kind of see things through a teenager's eyes, if that makes any sense. Because everyone's like, oh, teenagers are so dramatic. They're so angst-ridden and true. But there's also a lot of genius behind, you know, teenagers because they're so on fire with the world, you know? They're, like, ready. They're, like, ready for anything. They haven't, you know, they're, like, like the horse at the starting gate, you know? So I think it's a young adult book, but I definitely think older Wallflower or, you know, that those kinds of books. I was thinking, like, 13 Reasons Why or, you know, John Green novel. Yeah, you know, everybody loves those. It's hard to not, you know, it's hard to not love those stories. So I'm hoping Fine is kind of like that for other age groups as well.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff out right now that kind of reminds us of when we were teenagers or when we were younger, like preteens even, like, you know, Stranger Things. I don't know, 13 Reasons Why. There's, like, you know, there's a lot more stuff out right now that kind of brings us back to an age of when we were younger, you know, and you know, we've all been through it. If you've ever been if you're over 20, you've been through it. You know what I'm saying? You've already been there and done that. And so you kind of know what's going on. But things like, let's say Big Mouth. I know it's a cartoon, but it still pokes a stick at that subject of puberty, going through the emotions and the craziness and the ups and downs and the, you know, all the problems that you deal with when you're, you know, growing through. And you say not everybody has to be fine all the time. Not everybody has to, you know, not everything is fine all the time. And you know what I mean? Exactly. I remember when I was a teenager, my grandmother, it was just like, you weren't really supposed to have emotions. You were supposed to kind of be proper. You're supposed to be proper all the time. You're supposed to be, you know, everything's supposed to be fine. You know, you're just supposed to like, oh no, I'm perfectly fine. Everything's okay.
Everything's awesome.
You know, and I hate to say this. I'm not trying to make this about color or race, but for some reason, white people, we seem to always feel apologetic for everything, and our grandparents make us so we have to sit properly, like a proper lady, and we have to walk a certain way and dress a certain way and project a certain image, and we're supposed to be happy and always, oh hi, how are you? You know, it's not
sure. And like social media is like that, isn't it? I mean, I think we all sort of feel like you have to put on a happy face to everyone.
Yes. Everybody has to be happy and smiling and productive and oh my gosh, the world is so wonderful.
But you know, look at the beauty that came from Chrissy Teigen coming out on social media with all of that she's been through. And she's I think her being honest about her struggles and really, you know, owning both the joy and the struggle of life has been such a beautiful thing for people. And people like, you know, Glennon Doyle with her books and just being open about how hard life is, yet how amazingly resilient we all are, that we can handle things that happen. But if we come out and kind of own up to what's going on and be real, we create a culture where everyone else can be more real. And then we can connect bigger. You know, we can connect with each other and support each other.
I agree. Because not everything is fine and not everybody is fine. And this whole world is just, pardon my French, fucking crazy right now. Everything has just gone to hell in a handbasket. I'm sorry. You can swear on my show. It's all right. We're not FCC regulated. We're online radio. And that's what makes Jenny's Real Talk on the Block so wonderful to be a part of. I can. but hopefully, you know, we're about to be the bridge over troubled water. You know, we're about to go cross over that bridge to the other side. And hopefully things will come out fine, but for millions, not fine. It's been a horror show, a horror story.
I think what's so beautiful about, you know, when I think about this book, someone was asking about it the other day, and I thought, I couldn't have timed it better because I had no idea 2020 was going to unfold the way it did.
I think it was a perfect launch time for this book. I really do. Especially for teenagers and young adults that are going through all this horrible stuff. I mean, I know everybody exists online and everything is texting and sexting and swiping right and left and online constantly, this, that, and the other thing. Everything's online. But we still need human interaction. We still need a hug. Oh, we still need, I mean, you can't get that virtually.
No.
And it only goes so far.
So true. You know? And it's like teenagers, especially, it says they're, you know, they miss their high school graduations, their prom.
Yes.
My daughter.
Oh my God.
Right.
My daughter missed her proms. She missed her junior prom. She's not going to get a senior prom. I don't even know if she's going to be able to graduate. Like, just everything's gone to hell.
All these poor kids. Yeah, the poor kids. And I think, you know, we're all, you know, everybody struggles and is suffering through this in one way or another.
A lot of people are, very sure.
Right? But we all just, you know, I think like with Fine, I think the beauty of what I love about this book so much is that it's like, it's not afraid to embrace the difficulty and the struggle and the awfulness, and being angsty and edgy and mad about it is okay. But like, not to forget that we can still handle it. You can be mad as hell, but we're going to get through. We're going to make it, and it's okay. And it doesn't have to be pretty. Win ugly, but we're gonna get to the other side, right? Like one way or another, it's gonna happen. Yeah,
exactly.
It's not gonna
wipe out the whole human race. You know what I mean? Like we will eventually go back to some normalcy. You know, and eventually we will be fine. You know, just have to have a positive attitude about what's going on. I mean, I know it's been a horrible, horrible year. But tomorrow night, it will all be over.
Don't
at
you
midnight, wish? At midnight, this shit show ends, okay? And 2021 is about to happen. We're about to have a new president, you know, Joe Biden, and we're about to have a lot of new things going on. I think it's going to be a better year. It's going to be I'm a very hopeful for this year that we will be fine, you know?
Yeah. And hopefully we'll be so fired up over things that we'll make it even better. You know, that's my hope that all this like struggle and awfulness we've been through, I'm hoping that people are so fired up over it and have missed each other so much and are so eager to like get back to whatever new normal is going to be that they're just like creative and excited and just, you know, chomping at the bit, because I can't wait to see what's going to happen and what people are going to do. Like, it's going to be amazing when we finally get these shackles off and we're like, oh, like there's some kind of normal out there. Like, it's going to be amazing. People are going to be just bursting, I think, like confetti. I'm excited about that moment whenever it comes. I'm trying not to have expectations anymore, because every time I get excited about something, like, I'm not doing that with the new year this year. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. This last year, I had all these plans for this year. It was a huge epic year.
I know. We're all right there.
But it could be worse. It could always be worse. We could have been through what some of these other people have been through. I've been very fortunate. I still have my jobs. I haven't gotten COVID this entire time. I know people now who just returned to work who were out sick. It was one guy, he was out for a month. Another guy was out for about a month, very sick. They both looked like they lost quite a bit of weight. I was just very like thankful that they were still okay, you know, that nothing bad happened to them. Especially one of them has like 8 kids and has grandkids and stuff and a wife.
Yeah, I mean, all of us are going through so many things, and some so much worse than others. I think this is right? And this is the time we need to not become so isolated, even though we're stuck in our computers and stuck in our phones and we're not allowed to touch anybody or go near anything. I think this is almost like the most important time for us to really reach out and try to connect anyway, and check on your neighbors and check on your friends and check on those people you know, because, you know, this is taking a toll on the obvious, in all the obvious ways, but then think about what it's doing to everyone's spirits, you know, and what it's doing to their mental health. And, you know, and you can never underestimate, I think, you know, how important it is to be noticed and validated and say, hey, I was thinking about you. How are you hanging in there? For real.
Right.
Like, can I do something? Can I, you know, like, do you want me to drop by a cup of coffee? You want to have a Zoom chat? You know, we'll drink some wine over the over the screen or something. Because I just think, right? Like, this is a perfect opportunity to lift everybody up and out of this terrible time before we have even more issues, you know?
I agree.
It's so disheartening. And it's harder to climb out, I think, of the hopelessness than it is all the other tragedies.
I agree. It's that feeling of like it's never going to end, you know, that this has just gone on for so long now. Like, it's been around for a year now, this stuff. I mean, we weren't as impacted by everything until what, beginning of March is when they started shutting everything down, especially in Los Angeles. I don't know. Where do you live, or what general area do you live in?
Yeah, in the South Bay of Los Angeles area. So
okay, so you're in the same area as me. Okay, all right. So you've seen what this has done to our amazing city. I mean, no, you don't have all these tourists as much. I mean, we've had some, obviously, but it's we lost a lot of money in this city. The tourism went down. We lost everything. The entertainment community got hit horribly. Restaurants, everything, just movie theaters, restaurant bars, concerts, everything. Just people's work. All the people that work in the entertainment industry in Los Angeles. Oh my God. I'm one of them. I'm just one of millions who live in LA that work in one form or another in entertainment. Mm-hmm. There's so many, they could be behind the scenes, they could be in front of the camera, behind the camera, you don't know. There's so many people were impacted in just Southern California. I mean, it's been around the world, of course, you know what I mean? I know you're an author, but is that what you do, like, full time, or do you have like another, like a job, you know?
I'm an attorney, I only work part-time, and, you know, I'm mostly home with my kids at this point. And that's been fun. I'm sitting in a curse. There's five of us working at home all the time, you know, range, you know, little kid, big kid, everyone is always underfoot. And technology is my worst nightmare at this point. I love and hate it, but it's just caused so many headaches. But I'm so grateful for it, because without it, we would just be off the map entirely. Go anywhere, do anything, can't, you know, learn, can't work, can't do anything. So I'm grateful for it. But I mean, this has been it's been really heartbreaking, even though I feel like I'm so grateful that I'm not impacted, that, you know, we haven't had any sickness in our house, and we haven't had, you know, like our we're still managing and things are okay. Like, but it's still been awful, you know, awful. Family, friends, everything that's come through. Oh, I
had a scare this week. Cause where I work, I do security for, you know, cause right now the entertainment industry is null and void for the moment. So I'm doing security for a warehouse in Whittier, and I work with a lot of people, and we get tested, COVID tested, you know, nose tested every week, literally every single week. So Monday when I got tested, my test came back inconclusive. And so they had to do a second test, and I had to be out of work for a day or whatever. I had to go home immediately. Thank God I only had a half an hour left in my shift, so it wasn't that big a deal. So they made me go home immediately. I was out of work all day yesterday. I just returned this morning, but I couldn't return until I got the results of the second test. Now, the first test being inconclusive, I'm bipolar with anxiety and PTSD and all kinds of shit. So I'm hit with COVID. What if I have the COVID? You know, like, I don't know what I would do. I have, you know, chronic bronchitis. My husband has asthma. We don't need that kind of stuff in our house, you know. So, like, it was kind of like a little scare. It was kind of like, I mean, I feel fine. It's not that. It's just, it was just like in your head kind of thing, you know?
Well, yeah, it's true. And it's honestly, I mean, that's a really good point you bring up, because it's like in the air. I mean, literally, right? The sickness is in the air. It creates this, it's like food coloring, you know, when you drop a droplet of red food coloring in water and it just colors everything.
Yeah.
That's what this has done. It's affected so many aspects of our lives, from our work to our kids to our, you know, our sanity. And I do think it's a terrifying thing to live with for so long. I think we're all just in this fatigue and this of terror, you know. It's not right. No human's supposed to live with this much, you know, anxiety. And you know, for people especially, like, you know, you and I, you have some anxiety or anything like that. Like it's a lot. It's not, I don't think we can underestimate how difficult this time is, but I also think we just need to keep reminding ourselves that we can do this. Like, this is okay.
Yeah.
Now, I mean,
you got to stay positive, you know?
Yeah. And surround ourselves with, you know, with comforting, supportive things, right? Keep, you know, cause I actually went through a battle with cancer a couple of years ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm glad that you're still here.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you're with us.
But talk about terrifying, you know, when they say, I'm sure it's nothing. And you're like, I'm sure it's nothing either. And then it's something very big. And, you know, your whole world just, you know, goes into shock. And, you know, it was a terrible time for me. It was a terrible time for my kids, my whole family. And at the same time, like, for me, getting through that experience was so, like, dependent upon being positive and not like, yay, everything's great, but really just focusing on all the things that were okay. Focusing on the things that I wanted more of in my life, even if they were tiny, right? It was like, I mean, the littlest thing got me through to the next moment and the moment after that, until finally I was walking out of being sick, which was a miracle. And I really feel like that path was paved with just constantly keeping my eyes towards what I wanted, you know, life to be again. Because if I look down, it's like being, you know, on a cliff somewhere looking down. It's terrifying. You lose your footing, you lose your mind. And if you don't have your wits about you, it's hard to stay grounded. It's hard to heal. It's hard to, you know, live. It's hard.
I haven't personally been on that side of the fence myself.
And I'm happy.
But my mother passed away right before, actually January 21st. It's coming up. She passed away in 1987 from cervical cancer. I was 9 days before my 14th birthday. And then my older sister's birthday is 5 days before mine. And our younger sister's birthday is about maybe 10 days after the birthday. You know, like, well, eight days after. So our birthdays were all right then, you know, and it was really difficult. So, I mean, I guess I would have been in your children's shoes. Like, as far as like the, looking through the eyes of, you know, like that perspective, it would be like how it, you know, like being the child that had the mother that had cancer.
It's traumatic in its own right.
I can only imagine what your children must have gone through. I've been that person, so I can understand. I'm sorry you went through that though, because that's the other side of the fence that I never wanted to be on. And I get tested regularly. I mean, I know it's not a genetic cancer. Cervical cancer is picked up from usually HPV or, you know, other things, but it's not a cancer that's hereditary.
Yeah.
So, which is a good thing. But I'm sorry that you had to go through that experience.
Well, I'm sorry too. It's funny, but you know, you talk about these things and we realize how much we have in common and how many difficult things we've all been through during these times. And it's funny to me because I was telling Desiree the other day, like, my daughter, she loves reading, right? She reads all kinds of books, right? Course, most of the books she's read are about someone whose parent has to disappear for the storyline, and they always disappear because they get sick with cancer and pass away.
So I got you. So she, it's like reliving what she went through.
No,
already.
This was before I diagnosed even.
So it was before.
And it's funny how we forget about the world we create for our kids, right? We forget about what we put into the universe. So in her mind, she had already understood that me being diagnosed with cancer was like, oh, so that's it, we're done. And that was so upsetting to like have to walk through that with her already coming to the table with so much fear and so much dread. And I thought, we got to change the story around. You know what I mean? We got to start telling each other stories that acknowledge the pain and the sorrow and the grief and all of these terrible things we go through, but without letting it take us down, you know, and not letting that be the final word, that there is something beyond. And like, I wanted my children, no matter what happened to me, right? I wanted them to be able to walk away and live a full and amazing life,
right?
No matter. And I kept thinking, right? And I kept thinking like, you know, I don't know how much time any of us have, but I want it to be good and meaningful and filled with as much, you know, amazing moments as can be. And if we get taken down by every, you know, every bad thing that happens, we're just, you know, we're going to kind of shrink our lives until they're so small that we're not enjoying them at all because we're so filled with fear, right?
Very true. But
I feel like, you know, that was one of the lessons. Like, I feel like cancer taught me so much, which is like a terrible teacher, but it was very, very, you know, enlightening. And I think that was one of the lessons that, you know, my whole family has taken, that, you know what, we don't know what we have coming down the pike. So we're just going to jump in the river and we're going to go and see what there's to see, see what there is. Right. And just love each other through whatever comes. Cause that's
good. Anyway,
right.
It's nice to see that you had a good support system and a good positive mindset going through something like that. How long did it take you to write this book?
Well, so I started writing this book probably like 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay, so before, would you say, was that before?
Yeah, before I got sick. And it was before funny because I just heard so many stories of people that were in my communities and kids, just these awful, tragic things kept happening. You know, one took their own life. Another one had, you know, overdosed. And then another one was abducted. And it was like, it was just horrific. And these were just young kids that, you know, seemed like they were fine. Everything was great. And the whole community was like, huh, we don't know what to do about this. So it just seemed like it shut down because it was so shocking and so horrible that, you know, when you hear things like this, you just almost want to just put your head in the sand. And I kept thinking, but that's the opposite thing that I want to do. Let's talk about these things. Let's make it okay to talk about this stuff and to be there for one another and let life be what life is and carry each other through whatever it's going to be rather than making us feel so alone, you know, so alone that bad things seem to keep happening. You know, I feel like the more alone and isolated you are, no matter what you're going through, like the worse it is to get through it.
Yeah.
You know, right. So that's when I started writing it. And then I put it aside for a little while and, you know, then got sick. And after that, I was like, that's it. It's time for this story to be set free because I just know there's other people out there who, you know, need to feel like, you know, need to talk about this stuff and need to have these stories that surround them with the real, you know, nitty gritty of life, but also the hopefulness and the joy of it all at the same time. And to know you're not crazy. Yeah, I think so many of us are like, is it just me? Is it just me? Am I the only one who, right? Like, and I think that's kind of what I when I wrote it, I kind of thought, oh, we'll see what happens. And then after I was sick, I thought, that's it. It's time. It needs to go out into the world. It needs to fly. See what happens. So hopefully people
read it. I think they, especially when you go through something like what you went through, it kind of makes you want to hurry. I don't want to say it like, because you think like you only have so much time left.
Yeah.
And so if you don't accomplish it now, it'll never get accomplished.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like I have a friend, she's a famous author, Sasha George, who also has been on LA Talk Radio a bunch of times with me and with other you know, hosts, but she has a disorder, a blood disorder, and it could kill her at any time. And she lives with that with her children, you know, like it's just I can't imagine how stressful that would be. And she says that she keeps a positive mindset and every day she works on a project. Mm-hmm. And she, I swear the woman releases a new fucking book or something like every couple of months. I mean, she's just like a she never stops. I don't even think she sleeps. I think she's a vampire. No, but she has such great strength and positive, you know, mentality that she just like, it just kind of lit a fire under my ass and made me like, okay, look, things could be worse. Like, what is my problem? Snap out of it, woman. Like, if you don't hurry up and get working on these things, you know, like the older you get, the less time we have.
Yeah.
And so we need to get on this now. Get on everything now. Like, get it done now. Like, right. Life's too short.
It is. It's too short. And it's funny because I find myself with this whole, you know, with the whole pandemic, you know, thinking, oh, when it's over. Right. When it's over, we'll get back to life. When it's over, I'll go back to enjoying all these things. And I keep thinking, I'm going to find every way possible to enjoy now, even so.
Yes.
Like,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Right.
I went on vacation. I just went to Maine just for like 17 days. I just picked up and just went to goddamn Maine and visited my family that I haven't seen in over 2 years. And life's too short. I said, no, this year I'm going to go. And I made sure it was before it got too fucking cold. it's really, really cold out there.
It's beautiful up there.
It's so horrible. Oh God, it's gorgeous, but it's so freaking cold. It was cold when I was out there, but I knew it was going to get worse. So I wanted to get there before the snow completely annihilated that place. I want to thank you so much, Amy Lee Murphy. Thank you so much for being on our show today. We appreciate you for coming on here and talking to us about this amazing book and about all these just incredible things, positive energy, positive thoughts. Thank you so much for a book like that and for talking to us about what you've talked to us about. Can you tell everybody where they can find you? Websites or social media? Where can they buy your book?
I am everywhere. So I have my own website, which is amyleemurphy.com. And I'm also on Facebook and on Instagram under my name. And you can buy this beautiful book right here at Amazon, also Barnes & Noble, and pretty much anywhere books are sold. We got hard copy and ebook too. So yeah. So please go get a copy, read it. Tell me what you think. I want everyone to read it. And I want everyone to get all riled up about it and get provoked and send me messages and tell me what you think. I want to know.
You should send me a digital copy.
Done.
Or a hard copy. I don't know. Whatever you want to send me. I just want to read it because, I love everything that Desiree Duffy and Black Chateau Enterprises does. I fully support them. I do the LA Times Book Festival. I do media coverage for them every year and interview the authors. And I cover all her other festivals and book shows and everything that she does. And I just love and absolutely adore the living hell out of Desiree Duffy. And now I adore the hell out of you, Amy Lee Murphy.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for your positivity and your positive, kind words and for telling all of us in the world that we're going to be what?
Fine.
Fine.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I had a great time.
And on that note, we bid you all adieu till next week. Happy New Year to all of you out there in entertainment. We will be back with Darling Dead next Wednesday on LA Talk Radio Channel 1. Darling Dead, go check them out. Peace out. Till next week, Happy New Year and a ho, 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 happy holidays. Bye.
Yeah. You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.